the theme for the year for the Centers for Spiritual Living, of which we are a wonderful and grateful part, is value-based living, value-based spiritual living. And for this month, it has been spiritual living through accountability. Now, that doesn't sound real exciting, does it? Oh, but it is. It really is. How wonderful it feels to be accountable to my higher self. How beautiful it is to know that I am responsible, not in a sense of an onus or burden, but that I am responsible to keep my conversation, including the one in my head, in heaven. And you know what heaven is in Greek. By now you really know what it is, but we haven't mentioned it for a while. Heaven is in Greek ouranos, which means that which is forever. You forgot? That which is forever and ever expanding. That's what heaven is. And that's what we do here when we are awakening to who we really are. And when we're living in that state of heaven and we're keeping our mind focused and our heart focused, not just our mind, our thoughts are powerful, but our hearts are more important, equally at least. That when we are living in that place where the meditations of my heart and the thoughts of my mind and the actions of my expression of self are in alignment with the highest and the best that I can imagine for myself, for you, and for the world, I'm living an authentic life and I am being accountable. I love being accountable. I know that it's a wonderful thing to be aware that there is cause behind each external effect. Ernest Holmes says, behind every effect, there's a cause. And if this cause is a spiritual idea, which it must be, then it follows that should the spiritual idea be discerned, the physical effect would be like it. The idea is father to the fact. Okay, now you're catching on why this is everybody's Father's Day. The idea is father to the fact. Ideas are real, having the power within themselves to be made manifest. You and I are co-creators with the divine. Doesn't that feel wonderful? You and I are co-creators with the divine. Rumi says, let yourself be silently drawn by the strange pull of what you really love. It will not lead you astray. We want to bring into our lives, into our greater world, the highest and the finest, the most spirit-like feelings, ideas, thoughts, and expressions that we can imagine. And then we want to imagine greater ones, and then greater ones. That's what we get to do as co-creators. That's the design of it. There's a wonderful, intelligent, creative process at work within this universe. And the infinite mind says, let there be, and there is. And you and I, as individualized manifestations of that one life, say, let there be, and it is. And the more consciously we declare that, knowing what it is that we're bringing into our lives, the more wonderful the result is and the more victorious and successful our lives are. A wise father, let's talk about human fathers for a minute. A wise father consciously commits to co-creating a healthy child. And when our choices are generated from our deepest divine nature, they contain a passion and a power that assure their success. That's choosing that which, as Rumi says, it's what you really love, to be silently drawn by what you really love, to plant that conscious intention as a conscious, loving father would do in planning to bring a beautiful child into the world. We want to bring our beautiful ideas and ideals into the world. And so, when we form real agreements with the universe, and that's what we're doing when we bring a conscious creation into being, And when we have these real agreements, not only with the universe, but with ourselves and with our dear ones, that allows us to establish sacred covenants. I like establishing a sacred covenant with myself for things that are very important to me. I've had a sacred covenant for my ministry for years and years, and I change it from time to time. It expands and it grows and it deepens. That's what we do in our lives. We're forever learning more about who we truly are and bringing that into our everyday experience. So these sacred covenants can fire our enthusiasm, and then they can help us with real follow-through. So we're father to the idea, and that wonderful divine masculine within us, very much like the wonderful divine feminine within us, tend to work together as they do in the universal, they do in the individual as well. So I heard about a father of five children who came home one day with one toy, for five children. And he said to them, "Well, who's the most obedient one here? Who's the one who never talks back to mom? Who is the one who always does what mom says?" Holding the toy in front of the five children. And they said in unison, "You play with it, Dad." We all have great father stories, don't we? We have different fathers, different experiences. We're in the process of up-leveling everything in the human race, including the way we parent. I think that's one of the first places we need to start. And when a human father decides to co-create a child, there's a conscious choice, hopefully. And there's a creative activity. And the best fathers are those who make a commitment to that child to be there to love, support, and guide. And when you and I father an idea that we consciously have chosen, when we choose to bring the ideal into the real, when we get the highest and the finest thought that we wish to change in ourselves and to bring something more wonderful into our lives, it's like Plato's doctrine of the forms, where there's the form of the of beauty, and then there's the individual flower down here on earth. We want to do the best to bring the ideal of beauty into our lives. There's the ideal of good, the good. We wish to bring the greatest and the most goodness into our lives and into the world. And we start by forming it in the realm of the ideal, in the spiritual realm. And we choose something mentally. This is what I am bringing into my life and into this world. And then we bring it into the feeling nature. And we fuel it with passion and enthusiasm. And the law responds and says yes. So we consciously choose. We become co-creators. And we're most successful when we follow through with the commitment, which is why we are calling today's talk conscious creative commitments. Because too often we're not conscious at all about what we're bringing into our lives, aren't we? Well, now, how did that show up? Well, it just did. There is something called the universal subjective mind, of which we are all a part. The same intelligent creative process in the universe is the one that we use as well. And we have learned that the more clearly we keep our instrument open and receptive to love, open and receptive to these genius ideas, open and receptive to the flow of spirit, love, and wisdom, the more successful we are in allowing the creative process to flow through us and not to be stuck on emotional conflicts and mental blocks. Anybody here ever experience either of those? We're about the business of clearing them out. I do my spiritual practices. I do my listening to the things I don't want to have come up, but I know they have to if I'm going to clear things out in order to be a conscious, loving, wise, co-creative, and committed instrument through which Spirit wants to have a wonderful time. Do you know that Spirit wants to have a good time by means of each of us? Having a wonderful time there right now. And he's loving it. Do you know that you were consciously chosen by the infinite heart of God? I think it's time we took a step back, because yes, we're great manifestors of good in our lives. We're wonderful instruments through which this divine life expresses. We have the ability, we have the accountability, the responsibility to bring greater ideas into our lives than perhaps those we grew up with. And we do choose the ones that are still working well, and we choose to change the ones and transform into something else. Those ideas that aren't working so well, that aren't really in alignment with the spiritual truth of our being. But before we start thinking and creating and making these wonderful things happen, I think it's very important for us to realize that we were created in the image and likeness of God. This isn't a physical thing. And that the love of God, which brought each of us into being, without exception. Yeah, but what about? No, without exception. We make choices along the line when we're living in this life that aren't always for our highest good. And that's how we get to learn, and that's how we say, wait a minute, I want to clear this out. I want to live from spirit. I want to live from love. But the most wonderful thing, I think, about coming back to the divine heart that brought us into being is to realize that there is a promise of forever guidance, support, and nurture. I need to fall back on that sometimes, don't you? And I want you to hear this. The divine mind and heart that brought you into being is crazy in love with you. Crazy in love with you. Now, some of the stirrings of spirit that were happening with me during the night, they may not be making sense today, but they are to me. And I figured I would either be here to inspire you or I'd fall asleep at the pulpit. You can determine that. But God is crazy in love with each one of us. Don't you think it's time we opened our hearts and received that experience? Don't you think it's time that we realized how precious each one of us is? I am so grateful to realize that just as the divine feminine resides within each of us, so does the divine masculine. And, you know, so many wonderful, wonderful images of the divine masculine, including the spiritual warrior. You know, we can read the Bhagavad Gita, and here it's like all about war? It is not, and not at all. It's about standing up with purpose, becoming the spiritual warrior within our own consciousness so that we can have the courage to slay those internal dragons. And when we do, we find out that it's all energy and we're transforming that energy into something more successful, more loving, more workable. And as we drink deeply from the living waters of spirit within, we develop both the warrior and the nurturer. Do you realize you have both within you? And you see, the way the universal mind works is that the conscious aspect of divine mind chooses. Let there be rivers, let there be mountains, let there be beloved expressions made in my image and likeness, our image and likeness. And then the nurturing intelligence of the subjective mind allows that seed to grow, just like our tomatoes are growing and getting ripe. Something within us is ripening at all times. It's our real, true divine essence. Something within us is being called forth. And, you know, that spiritual warrior sometimes says, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to fight. Let's just see what happens. Instead of stepping up, which we ultimately must do, and making a conscious and clear decision to make a difference in our lives. A conscious, clear decision to make the world a better place. Isn't that what we're about? We spoke last week about how we do our spiritual work, our practices personally within ourselves. And that's the first step. It is for me, always has been, always will be. And then the next expression is to work with others in our lives, particularly those we've had a fuss with. Anybody ever had a fuss with anyone you love? So we do our spiritual work with one another in community. We do this in our classes. We do it in our informal gatherings. And we are supporting ourselves by allowing that divine presence within us to love us and support us forever. It's a promise. It is a promise. And we're supporting one another as we move through our different experiences, as we lose a beloved animal, as we find that there's something we didn't expect to have take place in our lives, and it does. We share that with each other. And we share the joys as well. So we work together in that way. And then the third part is that we love and support a community like this one that is getting brighter and brighter with its light shining, the light of truth, the light of love, the light of God itself, in order to make a difference in our entire world. And those three areas are essential, and we work them together. And it's what eventually, it's what Uspensky called the fourth way. Once all three are working together, individual work, relational work, community support, excitement, and love, knowing we are truly making a difference out there in the world, then we're living up to having been created in the image and likeness of God. So we develop both the warrior and the nurturer. One consciously plants the seeds. The other intelligently nurtures it to fulfillment. So again, the hieros gamos, that's the sacred marriage, has to take place within us. It determines our balance and our success. So I'd like to ask you, what are you willing to commit to today? What are you thinking about consciously that you'd like to bring into your life, into the world? And if there was nothing that could possibly stop you from doing that, if everything in the universe were conspiring to make that happen, how would you feel about it? Would you just imagine for a moment that whatever that divine idea is that you're ready to bring into your life and into the world has infinite possibility and the promise that you have a commitment from the divine to support you all the way? How to feel? To imagine that that can occur. It can unfold. And if you've planted the seed right now with faith and belief, it is unfolding already. In the twinkling of an eye, we can make a difference in our lives. In a twinkling of an eye, make a difference in the world. what's the new idea you'd like to have about yourself or about another or about our country or about the world? By the way, those signs are still over there. We took one with us to Morristown, and yesterday, at the end of our wonderful circle of sharing with the ministers and the practitioners there, Reverend Mike went out to the car and brought that in we had brought for Dr. Frankie, and she was thrilled over the moon with it. And everybody there wanted one. I said, well, just come to Paoli, they're $5 a piece. Love your neighbor. All your neighbors. There is no one here who is not a neighbor. Let's open our hearts to each other. Let's support each other in our spiritual process. Let's be there when there's crying. Let's be there when the tears need to be released. And maybe the person needs to be held. It's wonderful to share this with one another. Reverend Mike and I went early on Friday so that we could visit with our beloved, long, long-time friend, Dr. Dominic Polifrone. You've probably never heard of him unless you're really an old-timer. He followed Dr. Bitzer in the Hollywood Church. He was the spiritual leader there for years. And then he had a stroke, and his sister is in New York, and she's a physician. So he came out, and she worked with him. And he's living in a very nice assisted living place near Morristown. And so I found out that his diet is not restricted at all. He said, oh, you can come and have lunch here. It's just $10. I said, I think we could probably even do better than that if we can bring something to you. He's Italian. He used to be tall and had a black mustache. Mustache, black hair. And in fact, at one time, he was in the West Nyack Church. And years ago, like in the 80s, I flew from California, went to speak for him and spent some time. But he told me then that he had been dry. He had a long black car. And I don't know if it was a license plate or if he was going a little fast, a little slower, or whatever, but he was asked to drive over to the side of the road by a police officer who said to him, where are you headed, Father? Because he looked like a priest, you know. So we picked up the most fabulous Italian food. We just have a way of being guided to the right restaurants. And we got a feast, more than anybody could possibly eat. And the place where he's living had a special private dining room for the three of us. And he was waiting there in his wheelchair for us. We hadn't, neither one of us, we both each had been friends with Dominic for years. And neither of us had seen him in years. And he just lit up, and it was the most precious moment. He's got white hair now and a white mustache, and he's not so tall anymore, but then he's sitting down quite a bit. But he gave us a tour of the place. We went up to his room. We took pictures of everybody. I think Reverend Mike may have posted them on Zoho. Precious, precious moment. This man gave so much to so many people and continues to do that. Don't you know that nothing can stop us from bringing our spiritual magnificence to others, even if we seem to have a physical restriction some way? And it was a love fest. I invite you to have a love fest with someone today. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? Look at someone you maybe have never even seen before with that awareness that this is a beautiful expression of the living God. That's a conscious choice. So when we were calling this Italian restaurant, The call kept getting dropped because I was calling too early and we were still in Philadelphia. New Jersey and Philadelphia don't talk to each other that well, apparently. So I waited until we got closer and placed the order so we could pick it up and take it right to him. And they were so wonderful. They were so helpful. And I said, well, I've looked at your menu online, but do you have this? And he, sure, we can make you that. Sure, we're going to make you that. Did I do that right? You're going to make you that. There's too many Italians here for me to try to do that right because I can't. So we got there, and here the gentleman I'd been speaking with on the phone said, oh, are you Maxine Kay? I said, yes. And he just threw his arms around me. And you can throw your arms around a perfect stranger when your wisdom guides you to do so. We have the ability to connect on the deepest level with one another, don't we? Can we do it a little more often, please? Can we make these conscious choices? Can we be father to the idea of unity here in this world? That's why I get to wish us Happy Father's Day, because we're all father to the idea. So whatever you've decided to commit to today, let your wise, passionate nature logically choose a positive pattern, perhaps to replace a negative or restrictive pattern, something that you never was really true. Let's choose a new ideal for our lives, a greater vision for our world. It's about conscious, creative commitments. The best way I know to live a spiritual life through accountability. It's a great pleasure for me to live from a responsible place where I have the ability to respond, not to react, not the knee jerk, but to respond from the deepest place within. And I'm still working on it. Are you? Let's not stop. This is a lifetime project. And it gets better and it gets easier. We want the Spirit to flow through us. So will you say with me, I make conscious creative choices.
I make conscious creative choices.
I commit to partner with the universe.
I commit to partner with the universe.
I choose to follow through.
Each endeavor with great success.
Spirit in me is victorious. I believe you, and I'm so grateful that I can say to you, and so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Oh. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for us.